Well, the lights and the decorations and the Christmas music are all in full swing, both out in the shops out there as well as in many of our homes and even here in the church this morning. And every year there are those who get into the Christmas spirit early, and there are those who find themselves struggling, maybe even saying, I just don't feel Christmassy yet. I showed you this video last year. I love it so much I wanted to show it to you again. It's Michael McIntyre talking a little bit about the struggles of the season. Have a look at it here.
Feel Christmassy before this, you will feel unbearably Christmassy afterwards. Obviously, people spend a lot of December going, I just haven't felt Christmassy this year. I don't know what's happened to me. I just haven't really got into it. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting older. Maybe it's because the kids are older. I don't know. I just haven't really felt that Christmassy. And other people chip in. Me too. It's weird. I don't know what it is. It's something. But I'm hearing the music. I'm trying. It's like I'm trying. Very sure New York came on in the car. I turned it up. I've got nothing. I've just got nothing from it. And then it comes, the announcement comes. In the latter stages of December, you will just announce it. Today, I felt really Christmassy.
You know, so much is said of feeling Christmassy, but this morning I want us to think about what it means to truly embrace the spirit of Christmas. When I was a kid, I used to love reading comic strips on Sunday mornings in the Sunday papers. Back in the States, and Peanuts, that told the story of Charlie Brown and Snoopy was one of my favorites. I don't know if you came across Peanuts in your childhood, but there was this one Peanuts comic strip in which Lucy and Charlie, they're talking about Christmas, and Lucy says, Christmas is a time for kindness and a time to forgive one another, and Charlie Brown here's what she's saying and returns and says, but why do that just at Christmas? Why can't we have the Christmas spirit the rest of the year? And Lucy looks at Charlie and says, what are you, some kind of religious fanatic? You know, the truth is some of us do find it tough to feel Christmassy. Some of us may find it particularly tough this year to feel Christmassy. But this morning, I want to encourage you to see that feeling Christmassy and embracing the Christmas spirit are two different things. One is based on what our culture tells us that we should feel, and the other is based on what I believe is our true response to the Christmas message. And I think there's no better place to begin thinking through what the true spirit of Christmas is all about than to begin thinking through what happens to Mary in our passage this morning and her response to the angel's message about the coming king in our passage this morning. Now, you need to remember the context. We've been looking at this over the past couple of weeks, but as we've been reminded, some 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God spoke through his prophet Isaiah. And he promised his people that a virgin would be with child and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. And in line with God's promises to King David hundreds of years even before that, God said that the government would be on this child's shoulders, and that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He would have authority over all things, and he would reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And it was the zeal of the Lord Almighty that would accomplish this. It was his passion for his people and his determination to fulfill his promises of old that would make it happen. And now the time has come, after years of God's people walking in darkness and frustration and hopelessness, as they waited for God's light to dawn on his people, maybe even just wondering, did Isaiah get it wrong? Were all those promises for real? And finally, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary to bring the good news. Despite the fact that she had never slept with a man, Mary would give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus. Now, to understand Mary's reaction this morning, you need to remember just who Mary was. She was a nobody. Before Gabriel appeared to her that day, Mary was just like you and me. There was nothing inherently special about her. She was favored by God simply because God chose her. Not because there was anything special about her. She was a nobody. And although she was engaged to be married to Joseph, verse 27 says she was a virgin. Sex waited for marriage, and they weren't married yet. But Gabriel comes to her with this shocking news that everything was about to change. Elizabeth, her cousin, was going to have a child naturally, even though later than expected in her old age. And Mary was going to have a child, this time supernaturally and much sooner than expected, even though she was a virgin. And as the news begins to sink in, we see Mary's response played out. And I want to look at her response here in four ways. And I want us to think about how it helps us to respond to the true meaning of Christmas. How it helps us to take on the spirit of Christmas for ourselves. Tim Keller, in his book Hidden Christmas, helps us to think through this, and I want to use some of his ideas this morning. But firstly, we see here that Mary responds thoughtfully. Verse 29 says that initially Mary was troubled. She wondered at the angel's greeting. That word wondered there, it doesn't just mean that she was amazed at what the angel was saying to her. Like, wow, isn't this great? No, wasn't it at all. The word that Luke uses here means that she heard the angel's words, she saw the angel in front of him, and she considered what was happening. She tried to discern, to reason, to work out what was going on. It's a rational thinking word. It's like she's looking at the angel in front of her and she's thinking to herself, am I really seeing this? And from her initial response here, I don't think she immediately accepts what's happening. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You've heard this story again and again over the years from nativities when you were small. And every year the story is the same. And for you, you hear these words read out this morning and you just think, this just seems too far-fetched. That the God of the universe would choose to make his entrance into our world through the motherhood of a young peasant girl and through a miraculous virgin birth. And looking through modern eyes, we can easily write off this story and we can simply think, oh, this is just make-believe. It couldn't have possibly happened like that. Virgins don't have babies, but you need to remember that just as we struggle with the barrier of believing in the supernatural in our day, back then they too would have struggled to believe as well. They would have struggled to believe that God would ever become man. And so in our passage this morning, we find Mary's mind racing as she tries to take it all in, as she tries to make sense of what the angel is saying to her and of what it all means. I think the take-home point here is that as we're faced again with a Christmas story this year, it's okay if you're not sure. It's okay if you're still struggling with doubt, because that's where Mary was. You know, the Bible doesn't condemn all doubt, but it does tell us that not all doubt is the same. Just a few verses earlier, in chapter 1, Zechariah was greeted by this same angel, Gabriel, who told him that he and his wife would have a baby themselves, a child in their old age. And when Zechariah struggled to believe, he was struck dumb and he was made unable to speak until John was born. But what happens to Mary here is different. She also struggled with doubt, but that's not where she stayed. See, there's a difference between doubting with a closed mind, which was back where Zechariah was, and doubting with an open mind. Doubting with a closed mind says, no, that could never happen. And that's a defense against the possibility of finding answers. But doubting with an open mind says, I'm not sure. Tell me more about this. Help me to understand. And that's where we find Mary this morning. That kind of doubt seeks answers. And Mary's response is a challenge for each of us this year to seek the answers that we need from the Christmas story as well. Mary responded thoughtfully. But secondly, even though faith eventually came to Mary, it didn't come suddenly all at once. It came gradually over time. She asked for more information from the angel Gabriel in verse 34. How can this be since I'm a virgin? You know, in the world's terms, what Gabriel was saying didn't add up. But Gabriel is an angelic being from heaven. He introduces himself earlier to Zechariah as one who stands in the presence of God. And since God's ways are higher than our ways, and Christmas is an invitation for us to stand back and try to make sense of what God is doing and has done, Mary asks the question. She seeks answers. And seeing faith rising up in her heart, Gabriel explains that God himself will make it happen by his Spirit. And still, even hearing that in her response to the angel, I don't get the idea that what she was thinking was, that's brilliant news, Gabriel. Amazing. Fantastic. I'm glad you called with me today. That's just what I hope to hear. That's all of my dreams come true. No, I think what we see in Mary's acceptance at the end of this passage is that it was a gradual belief. It was a growing acceptance of God's call on her life. At first, she can't believe what she's hearing because what the angel is saying seems to be crazy, totally impossible. But even though she's struggling, she doesn't shut the conversation down. She asks for more information. And when she receives it, she responds with the simple acceptance, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She's still not jumping up and down. She's not saying it suddenly all makes sense. What she is saying is that she will pursue it. She'll follow this up, and she shows an openness to allowing God to speak into her life and to fulfill his purposes in and through her, even if it all doesn't entirely make sense straight away. And so in spite of her fears and reservations, Mary submits to God and she trusts that if God truly is at work here, he can be trusted. He will make it happen. Still, maybe it's not until she meets her cousin in the following verses of our passage, which weren't read this morning, that what the angel told to her is confirmed in her heart. And she then exercises a more committed faith, praising God from the depths of her soul for the mighty work that he's doing in and through her. Read along with me. She says in verse 46, in response, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of a servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For most of us, you know, I think this is how it is. Faith is a process. It's a journey. Faith doesn't come instantly to everyone. For some of us, it takes years, but the fact that Mary grew in faith gradually over the course even of our passage this morning should be an encouragement to all of us, especially if we're still trying to work out the Christmas story for ourselves this year. If Mary were here today, she would tell you that's okay. Don't stop. Keep searching for answers and open your heart to God this year and invite him to reveal himself to you in a fresh way, in a new way, to show you the way. Mary responded thoughtfully and gradually. And thirdly, we see in Mary's response, she was caught up then in wonder. When the penny dropped, the angel said to her, was independently confirmed by Elizabeth. She's overwhelmed with that emotion of awe. She's filled with wonder, as we just heard in those verses in 46 and 47. She's not just amazed that this is happening to her, but she comes to the point of gladly surrendering to God's will for her life and bringing about His will for the world. And this is the point we must come to as well as we are challenged by the Christmas story. As Mary comes to realize God has spent centuries preparing for this day, now He reveals that He's going to save the world through this simple, poor, teenage, still unwed girl. And she's bowled over by it. She's in awe. And here's the thing. The spirit of Christmas invites that same humble response in each of us this morning. If you've given your life to the Lord and you're following Christ's purposes for you, then like Mary, you should be just as amazed that He would choose you to bring about His plans for the world today, wherever you are. Because that's what He does. He works through your life too. It's a mystery. But the moment we begin to take all this for granted or begin to think that somehow we deserve God's love because of what we've done for Him, it's the moment we get it all wrong. It's the other way around. That you're a Christian, that I'm a Christian, that God should choose me, He should choose you, it's a miracle. It's all grace. It's God's unmerited favor in our lives. Rejoice like Mary. Thrive in the wonder this Christmas that God would send His Son for you and call you to join Him in His kingdom mission in this world, because that's what He does still today. Mary responded thoughtfully and gradually and in wonder. But lastly, we see Mary responding in this willing and full surrender to God. And this is where I want us to really focus now. You see, the thing about faith is it's not just something that we come to believe in our heads or feel in our hearts, but faith requires action on our parts as well. And Mary's faith isn't some sort of blind obedience to God either. Listening to the news that the angel was sharing with her that day, she did the sums in her mind. She's working it all out. She knew that being an unwed mother was going to have its downsides too. She'd be an outcast in her community. She'd be ridiculed and probably ill-treated by those she'd grown up with. She'd be looked down upon. And so as she accepted the word of God and God's call in her life, she wasn't just taking a blind leap of faith. She had a fair idea of what this all might mean for her. At the same time, she had no idea where it would all lead. And in the same way that God called Abraham back long before that, He called Abraham, He said, follow me. And Abraham said, yes, that's great, God, I'm followed. Where are we going? And God replied and said, I'll tell you later. And Abraham just had to take one step and put it in front of the other and follow as God unveiled His plan slowly. In the same way, it's like God is telling Mary through the angel Gabriel, here, follow. And she maybe says, how is this going to work? Where are you leading me? And He says, I'll tell you later. And when we step out in faith and we follow God, we may want to know where it's all going. We may want to know how it's all going to end up. But God inevitably replies to us in the same way. I'll tell you later. Just follow me. Put one foot in front of the other. Follow me as I lead you today. And tomorrow, I'll show you where to go then. And Mary's response was a sign of her willing acceptance that if God is God, then not only has He created us, not only does He sustain us by His righteous right hand, but He therefore deserves our full allegiance. He deserves our full obedience, no matter what. No matter where he might call, he tells us what to do, not the other way around. And for most of us, I'd say this is the greatest challenge this Christmas. We've maybe gotten our heads around the idea that if God created all things with a word, then he could create life in Mary's virgin womb. We're beginning to get that. And in believing that, we can believe that this child born to Mary was none other than the Son of God. Okay. And maybe we can then say with Mary that in all of this, we're also on that faith journey, gradually trying to understand what it all means for us today. But brothers and sisters, if we miss the fact that Christmas offers the opportunity to embrace Christ in humility and with full obedience and submission as our Master and Lord, then we miss the boat. Which I suppose raises two questions that I want to show on the screen next. Again, Tim Keller in his book, Hidden Christmas, he asks these questions, which Christmas actually challenges us with every year. First, are you willing to do anything the Bible tells you to do, whether you like it or not? Are you? Secondly, are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not? You see, because these are the two questions that Mary faced in her day, in those moments as the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And in the end, she said yes to both. She surrendered her will and her life entirely over to God. And even though she knew life would be messy, even though she realized that things weren't going to be the way that she maybe dreamt they would be when she was a young girl, because her dreams were now subject to God's dreams for her life, she followed, even still. And I wonder, can you say the same thing this morning? You see, the thing is, any other response to the God of the universe, then a yes just doesn't add up. Think of it this way, and I love this illustration. You know, looking at the universe, at just how big the universe is, if the distance between the Earth and the Sun is 93 million miles, and we use that in relation, we just say that's the thickness of this page, okay? Well, let's say that represents 93 million miles, this page right here. Well, then the distance from the Earth to the nearest star would be a stack of pages 70 feet high. That's how far that would be. And the diameter of the Milky Way, the galaxy that we live in, would be a stack of paper over 300 miles high. Now, keep in mind that there's more galaxies in the universe than we can number, and there are more, it seems, than dust specks in the air or grain in the sand of the seashores. Now, if Jesus Christ holds all of this together in a word, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, if he is the God of the universe, is he the kind of person that you just ask into your life to be your assistant? We don't invite Jesus into our life to be our consultant. We invite him to be our supreme Lord. And in the end, a call to follow Christ in faith, it's not a negotiation, but rather it's a full surrender, which means that submitting every part of our lives to Christ's reign and rule in our life as our now and coming King is the only faithful response at Christmas. And that kind of surrender is countercultural. It goes right against the grain of what everyone out there tells us that we should do with our lives. Because it's no longer me who gets to decide the path for my life, for my career, for my family, for my finances, for my sexuality, and so on. And it means that when disappointments and difficulties strike in my life, I don't bail out just because I don't like it. But instead, like Mary, I turn towards Christ. I put my faith even more fully in Christ. I look to God, and even in the midst of the darkness, I ask, where are you leading, Lord? As you follow step by step along the way, you trust that he will show the way. The truth is, you know, on this side of the cross, we have it so much easier than Mary. We get to see Christ from this side, from this side of history, from this side of victory. For her, it was all still to come. She didn't know how it would all end up. And so for us, it should be even easier to receive Christ and easier to follow him, even if following him means embracing difficulty, even if it means embracing a more dangerous or dark path than the one that we might have thought to travel on ourselves. But as Mary discovered, it was worth it. Because no matter how dark our path may become, how painful life may be, we follow a Savior who descended to an even greater darkness, took on an even greater pain, to take on the depth of our sin and shame so that he one day could raise us up to the light of life on the last day. His obedience led to endless eternal redemption for many. Our obedience to him is the only fitting response. And it becomes a tool in his hands to bring about his purposes in our lives and in our world today. At the end of the day, I think that this kind of humility that recognizes our need for Christ and this kind of submission that Mary shows, it gives full obedience to Christ. That marks the true spirit of Christmas. It's a true spirit of Christmas that can be enjoyed all year long. It's a response that requires us to make Christ king over every part of our life, no matter what. I mean that this Christmas, I think we actually have a decision to make. I wonder if you'll watch this video with me as we close, as we're challenged again with a question before us.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
Oh, there's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Christmas offers us the opportunity to make a choice. And it's a choice that stands before each of us as to who sits on the throne of our hearts. Mary offers us an opportunity to reflect and to say yes to God again this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess this morning that our hearts so often wander away. Our hearts so often want to reclaim that position on the throne of our hearts, the stool, as it were, that only you deserve to sit on. And we're so sorry. We're sorry for trying to take that back. We're sorry for trying to take over. We're sorry for trying to treat you like a consultant or an advisor when you are actually a supreme Lord. Father, forgive us. Turn our hearts towards you this Christmas. Help us bow the knee before you in true humility and faith like Mary. Father, for those of us who are struggling and trying to work through in our own minds the truth of the Christmas message, Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a fresh way this year, that you will help us to see you in a new light, that you will help us to understand. And as we ask our questions, as we keep searching for answers, I pray that you would reveal yourself and be faithful to us, and that you would call us on closer to you. Father, for those of us who are taking those next steps of faith along the journey and are seeking to follow and who are looking to know your will, Father, I pray that you would reveal that too. That you would help each of us this morning understand something more of how we fit into your plan and your purposes for our lives and our world, and how, in the same way that you used Mary to do something absolutely amazing and earth-shattering and changing, you can do the same in us. And so, Father, we invite you to birth your new ideas in our hearts, in our lives, to be born in us this Christmas, and inspire us to an even greater service to you as we seek to follow you. Father, for each of us, I pray that you'd help us to understand what full and willing, obedient submission to you looks like. Father, where are the areas in our own lives and in our church that we need to give over more fully to you? Father, our desire is that we can be those humble servants with Mary. That we too can utter those words, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to us be fulfilled." Father, we thank you for your good promises in sending your Son. We thank you that you promised that you will one day return again, Lord Jesus, and make all things new. And in the meantime, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will have the delight, the honor, the privilege of serving you and of seeing your kingdom come, your will being done here in our lives and on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray all this to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.